The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
On the Mount of Olives, Jesus said to his disciples privately about his coming, "But about that day and hour no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away, so too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Holy Trinity, one God. Amen. As always, I'll start by reminding you that if there is a word, a phrase, or a sentence that jumps out at you from this sermon that seems to encompass the essence of the message, I encourage you to tweet it or put it out on your Facebook page for those of your friends and family who aren't lucky enough to come to church today. Sleepers, wake! A voice astounds us. This is one of my favorite hymns, and I'm grateful to Jean and Larry for putting it on as the very first hymn we sang in this new year of the church calendar. I want to remind you of the words of that first verse. Sleepers, wake! A voice astounds us. The shout of rampart guards surrounds us. Awake, Jerusalem, arise. Midnight's peace their cry has broken. Their urgent summons clearly spoken, that the time has come, O maidens wise. Rise up and give us light, the bridegroom is in sight. Your lamps prepare and hasten there, that you the wedding feast may share. A voice astounds us. I wonder what voice or voices might be keeping you awake in this Advent season. There are so many voices that compete for our attention. There are the voices of the commercial world urging us to spend, to buy, to acquire more and more and more stuff. There's the voices of our families negotiating how and where to spend Christmas, an ever more complicated conversation in these days of blended families and geographic mobility. There are the voices of memories that haunt us, Christmas past, of seasonal griefs, disappointments, and expectations. And there's the voices of all that seasonal muzak, both sacred and secular. I got my fill of secular holiday songs a week ago, and I don't plan to go back to them all until 2014. And then there's the voice that this hymn describes, the voice of the prophet. The voice that cries out in this consumerist wilderness, calling us inward, calling us back to the reason we're here, calling us to the wedding feast with the Lamb, calling us to Bethlehem. And the scripture voices we hear today are calling us to focus on remembering on something that's far from our day-to-day world. The scripture voices call us to dream the dream of God. Listen to Isaiah as he writes, "Imagine a day when there will be no more war, when all the peoples of the earth will come together under God's gracious rule." Imagine the psalmist speaking of Jerusalem being a city at unity with itself. Hear Paul as he writes, "Imagine a day of salvation when all will live in the light of Christ." And hear Matthew saying, "Imagine a day when our busy lives are interrupted without warning by the decisive moment of salvation." Can you imagine such a day? Can you still the cacophony of the season and allow your weary soul to awaken to the dream of God? Today, December 1st, World AIDS Day, we feel the weight of the world's griefs pressing upon us. Griefs of loss. Grief about our friends in Sudan attacked by the Lord's Resistance Army. Grief in the Philippines. Grief for an Episcopal priest burned to death in Maryland. Grief in our own families and our own communities. Faced with the toxic combination of the pre-holiday madness and all this grief, we need something else. We need an alternative reality. We need the dream of God. We need a vision to hold on to, a faith that reaches far beyond today's worries, a hope that this is not all that there is. I've tried to imagine what the scriptural voices might say to our world today, if they were here. What would Isaiah say about swords and plowshares if he were to watch CNN or the evening news? If he could hear the saber rattling in the Middle East and in China? If he could see the constant procession of funerals at Arlington Cemetery? What would Paul say about reveling and drunkenness if he could witness our Thanksgiving dinner tables and see the incredible waste that this society generates while millions across the world and thousands in our own cities go hungry? What would Jesus say about keeping awake and alert for the inbreaking of the kingdom if he could see the obsessive busyness, the manic activity that our lives can become, especially at this time of year? We need the dream of God. We need a moment's respite when we can stop, close our eyes, and remember who we are and whose we are. Advent is an invitation to enter into the dream of God, the dream of peace, of universal kindness, of the victory of light over darkness. As Claire said last week in her sermon, in the practice of our faith, we remember the future. Worship at its best gathers up things ancient and things still to come. It puts us in a place where we can reclaim our essential identity as children of God, remembering our baptism and looking forward to the fulfillment of the promise, the inbreaking of God's kingdom. Our Advent worship offers time and space for us to sit and wonder at the new thing that God is bringing about ever so slowly, and to prepare ourselves for citizenship in that kingdom. Now, this preparation doesn't involve catalogues or websites, credit cards or wrapping paper. It involves the practices of kindness, generosity and listening, caring for the last and the least, living each day as if it were our last, looking for the grace and the beauty in our own lives and those of others. So take a moment each day of Advent to listen for that other voice, to refill your soul with spiritual oil, to be watchful for the coming of Christ into your life. And to quote once more from that great hymn, let this be our prayer. Now come, most worthy Lord, God's Son, incarnate Word, we follow all and heed your call to come into the banquet hall. Amen.